just kind of gave me, would take the question that I was asking myself and then kind of flip that on its head. Mm-hmm. And then it would make me question like, oh yeah, like why wouldn't it work? Like, why have I been kind of in this rut? What are the thoughts like? And kind of just putting aside, just because I've had this history doesn't mean that it's my future. Yeah.
Hey there, welcome to the Soulful IVF Podcast. Here we're all about empowerment and living our lives fully as we navigate through fertility treatments. In this space, you're invited to live in possibility. My name is Lisa and I'm your host, an occupational therapist turned IVF mama, soulful IVF coach, and best-selling author. I'm here as your guide to walk alongside you, helping you lean in, keep that light alive, and optimize this path. Here we have real, raw, heartfelt conversations about fertility and about life, covering the science and the soul. You'll hear from other women who have walked this path, fertility experts, and so much more. These inspiring conversations are here to help keep you moving forward, stay informed, and remind you you're not alone. We walk together. Buckle in and hold on, baby. You're in for quite the adventure. Let it begin. Hi, thank you so much for being here. My guest for today is a dear past client who I just adore. Her name is Gina. She's actually the youngest client that I've ever had the fortune of working with. And you'll get to hear her entire fertility story, the path that she and her husband navigated to reach their sweet Levi. And we cover a lot. We talk about mindset. We talk about new ways of shifting her energy, her beliefs, the narrative that she was telling herself through this path, and the things that supported her and ultimately bringing home a baby. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome, Gina. So excited to sit down with you, Gina. How are you?
So well. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for giving me the space.
Thank you for saying yes. We've been talking about you coming on to share your story for some time. And I'm really honored that you said yes, and the time is right, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Life just got away from us. We've been planning it for, my baby is 6.5 months old, so we've been talking about it since then.
Your sweet Levi will talk all about your journey to reach him, and so glad. You know, I have to share this first, because you, I think, are the youngest woman who's ever reached out to me for support. You were 29 when you reached out to me.
Yeah.
And that was in October of 2022.
Yeah.
So a lot has happened up until that, you know, before that, and I'll let you share your story. And it's been such a joy. We only had a couple calls together as you prepared for your transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And you reached out to me initially because of mindset, mm-hmm, and had a little bit of a struggle. So I'll let you open it up. I mean, 1.5 years. I know you went through some fertility struggles.
Yeah.
And I'll let you begin, you know, you and your husband.
Yeah.
You're in Kansas.
Yes, I live in Kansas. I always kind of start out because definitely very much my personality. I grew up on the East Coast and then I went to college in the Midwest, mm-hmm, and I married someone from the Midwest. So we live here in Northwest Kansas in a very rural area. And yeah, we started trying for a baby in 2020, somewhere around there, December 2019 or 2020. Mm-hmm. I was 27 or 28 when we started trying.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of put off, we had been married since we were really young, 24 or so. And I put off childbearing because of my career and felt like that really made sense at the time. Never suspected that we would have trouble, but I guess it was always lingering in the back of my mind, kind of given a history with my mom had multiple miscarriages and I knew she had endometriosis and had definitely a struggle having us, but we didn't talk about fertility all the time, just like most people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, after a year of trying, my husband and I visited an OBGYN. OBGYN wasn't too concerned, but put us on Clomid. We had a miscarriage right away after getting pregnant on Clomid, and then subsequently had another miscarriage naturally right after that. So two miscarriages back to back, which was really, really hard, I think, especially, mm-hmm, after a year of infertility. You know, you finally get pregnant and then it's kind of ripped away from you right away. And I was just surprised. And no one my age had really had miscarriages. None of my friends. I was aware, obviously, of miscarriages, but I was just very shocked and surprised and really at a low place for sure. So after a bunch of diagnostics, kind of the whole normal rigmarole that you go through with OBGYNs, I decided to make a fertility consult with an IVF doctor in Denver, because that's basically our closest city. And I did have some insurance, which was lovely. But yeah.
So were there any clinics in Kansas?
So yeah, basically you can go to Wichita, which is like 4 hours away from me, or Kansas City, which is five and a half hours away from me. But I'm closer to the Colorado border. So Denver is about three and a half hours away. So it made the most sense. And then I started working at that time in Denver anyway. So it was like a whole, again, all of, you know, universe's planning, whatever it is, it made absolute sense to go to Denver. And right away, it was suggested that we do IVF. And the thought was that I had poor egg quality because I had a year of infertility. And then when I would get pregnant, I would miscarry. So that was the thought. And basically, after lots of diagnostics later, and you've been through it all, we definitely were diagnosed with poor egg quality. So we ended up doing 3 retrievals before we even started talking about transfer.
3 retrievals. Yeah. They hadn't really done some of the basic testing initially, right? Wasn't that something you shared with me that
in hindsight,
it would have been nice for them to identify AMH, all the things?
Yeah. So of course, all the OBGYNs, I think, again, you have a 28, 29-year-old girl coming into your office that's complaining about not getting pregnant. And I don't think they take it seriously at all in the beginning. And for me, obviously knowing a little too much about reproduction and being, you know, my job, I'm a veterinarian. So I definitely come into the appointment already knowing a lot about a lot of things. So that's also to a fault at times, because I'm already 3 steps ahead of what the doctor is even talking about. But yeah, they didn't really do a whole lot from the beginning with me and didn't really even take it seriously. And the doctor never recommended that I go to a fertility specialist or anything. I just sought that out on my own.
Really?
Yeah. So I think he would have just kept doing Clomid with me if I had stayed with him. But I felt like 2 carriages back to back was definitely a cause for concern. So that was my doing, making that appointment.
Okay. Yeah. You had that medical background. So yeah, you understood a lot. And so one of your challenges, it wasn't producing a lot of eggs. It was more of a quality. They weren't, would you say they were maturing, but then fertilization. Yeah. I'll let you share.
Yeah. So I had great maturation and I responded really, really well to IVF medications, which is sometimes a huge issue for people. And that was not my issue at all. I would have like 21 eggs or so, and 18 of them were mature. So great numbers. Sperm was not an issue in our marriage either, or our relationship. So we would have lots of fertilized eggs, but they just would die off in the process of IVF. So you get that like day 5 call, and instead of, I expected that first round, I think we had 18 fertilized. I expected, you know, oh, great, we'll have 5 or 6 that are, you know, at the end and ready for genetic testing. And we had 1. And that was like shocking, to say the least. And they did recommend that we do genetic testing because I had already had miscarriages. And then that embryo came back abnormal, genetically abnormal. So they would not transfer it because I would just miscarry it. So it had like an extra chromosome or 1 less of a chromosome. So it was just a shocking process. And I didn't even like know where to go from there. And I started being like, okay, is this the cause for my infertility? Is this why I'm having issues? And they were just like, we don't know. Some people have a bad first round. And, you know, obviously you do have some history in your family of of, you know, some issues, endometriosis, but they weren't thinking that that was my issue because I wasn't really having any signs of that. So we subsequently did a second round. We got two embryos, and they both were healthy. So that was amazing. And then we did a third round because I really felt strongly about, you know, I'm young, I'm in the mode of doing this. I would love three children. Of course, that would be like my ideal situation. And on the third one, same numbers, like 21 eggs, you know, 18 or 19 mature, fertilized, but we did not get any blastocysts by day
five.
Third,
that was a third egg retrieval, right?
Yeah, on the third egg retrieval. So that's probably when I started to contact you, somewhere around there, because it was just like, okay, I'm doing all of the things you're asking me to do. And I'm still feels like I'm not getting anywhere, which was just like shocking and depressing. Honestly, it's just like a low that I had never felt before. So I definitely sought out help because I was doing everything physically I could, and mentally is where I needed help to kind of navigate the waters of where I was at.
And didn't your clinic kind of just say, just keep your stress low? That's like, encourage you to do, right? Like, just minimize the stress. And
They're like, you're like, what do you do for egg quality? And they're like, yeah, that's not really something that's researched at this moment. So you can try your hardest to, you know, improve your stress. And obviously you've gone through two miscarriages and you're now on your third egg retrieval. Like, I don't know how you lower your stress. I don't know how you manage these things. And obviously, I'm a woman that wants a family really, really bad, and I've already taken more steps than the average person. I'm going through IVF. So how do I minimize my stress? Yeah. That was the question.
That's the gap, right? That's the gap.
Yeah,
definitely. That's why I created what I do. And did you find me through, was it your acupuncture clinic here? Was it, were you a support group? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was my support group originally with Hold On Baby.
Wait, with Hold On Baby, my book?
Yeah, so I think, I want to say maybe, I think Blair Nelson maybe had read it and kind of talked about it in the group. And maybe that's originally where I got it.
Okay.
But it also could have been my acupuncture clinic too, because I would see your photo in my acupuncture clinic that you did some free support groups, but they were never on like days when I was there.
Okay. Well, that's cool to know there are some support groups out there with my book. Love it.
Yes. Yeah. So Fertility Rally was the support group that I was in, and it was like nice for me because it was virtual. So it really accommodated my schedule. And Blair Nelson definitely would recommend your book and talk about that.
I know both of them, Blair and Allie. Shout out to them. They're wonderful.
Absolutely. So,
oh my gosh. So coming to me, you said you were doing all the things. You were trying the gluten-free, the dairy-free, you're doing yoga, acupuncture, but it was really that mindset piece. And I remember going back through my notes, you had shared with me that you struggled with, like, that you hadn't gotten any good news and why would this work was kind of the mindset, right? Coming into working with me. There were some like different anger things we talked about related to work. Do you remember that? Like, we kind of, we ran the gamut. We talked about a lot of different things, and you were always searching, right? Like, so shifting into a different kind of energy. You and I worked a lot on that, only in two calls. I mean, this is what I just want people to know who are listening. It's like, it doesn't have to take a long time, right? Like, quick shifts can be made. And so what were some of those shifts for you? Can you think back to maybe some of the, we did a chakra reading, I remember, identifying thing, you know, I'll let you share.
Yeah. So I think to start with, I had gone to a fertility therapist and I just felt like they were specific to fertility. They had their own struggles. And I just felt like I was literally spending money on crying for an hour. And that was not, I wanted like solutions and like homework to do. That's kind of my personality. Like, I want, how can I manage these things? So I think what was nice with you is obviously you've been through it. And you kind of gave me that homework to do. So like, how can we shift this mindset? How, like, what things can we add in that are going to help with this? Blah, blah, blah. So we talked a lot about the different things I was struggling with, and we gave me I guess, different ways to actually manage some of these things instead of just like a vent session. It was more like, these are things that I've done and I've worked with people to kind of manage these. Who you'd question me and kind of ask why I felt like these things weren't going to work, why I felt like, you know, I was getting, you know, with the bad news, why it wouldn't work, and just kind of gave me, would take the question that I was asking myself and then kind of flip that on its head. And then it would make me question like, oh yeah, like, why wouldn't it work? Like, why have I been kind of in this rut? What are the thoughts like? And kind of just putting aside, just because I've had this history doesn't mean that it's my future.
Yes.
So you kind of helped me connect those dots, which I wasn't previously getting with other ways I was seeking support.
Thank you. Yeah, the narrative that we tell ourselves through this path, it really matters, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And I think being a realistic person and being a science data driven person, it makes fertility extra challenging, because we don't want to fall into that toxic positivity, but also a lot that we don't know about fertility.
Yeah.
And I think no matter what, you need to do what feels right for you, what feels good. You just need to find those things about yourself, because it is a lonely, sad road if you are just talking to yourself and talking so negatively. Obviously, our husbands, while they're like an amazing support system, they don't feel the mental and physical and emotional effects of infertility in the same way that we do. So like, to find this like sisterhood that you kind of created is just life-changing. It was life-changing for me.
Thank you so much, Gina.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you telling me kind of you'd always been a confident person, and then going through this path kind of made you feel a bit defeated or deflated. And then when the shift started happening and we were working together, I remember you telling me that people were noticing, like even your ultrasound tech or something, didn't they say like, that, I don't know, that there was a switch about you or the energy felt different?
Yeah, definitely. The ultrasound tech, obviously, if you go through IVF, you spend a lot of time with ultrasound tech. So once you start injections, you basically are there every other day or every day checking on your follicle growth. They don't want them to grow too big too quickly. They want to make sure that they're maturing at the same rate. So you spend a lot of time with them. And I just had this one that I like absolutely loved. And she was like, you're ready. Like, you are ready for this. Like, it was so cool to kind of experience that with her. And just kind of feel myself like grow in my confidence towards the end of the process and meeting with you. And it just felt so good for sure.
My gosh, that's so exciting. And we talked about signs and symbols, and you had different things that kind of kept you in that space of trusting this was all happening for you, and the songs, the music, right? Like, looking back over my notes, the Fleetwood Mac song.
And I've heard that song so much since I kind of put that song into my like energy aura playlist situation. Now just like been a regular part of my life. And obviously now having, spoiler alert, a son, it feels so cool to kind of see those signs and symbols and all these things kind of together. And again, it's just like a really amazing balance and all these things that just, they start happening for you and not to you, and kind of creating the mindset that really helps drive that for sure.
Wow. And what's unique about your story too, in addition to you were traveling to another state for treatment, like how did you do that? Were you living in Colorado for a few weeks during your egg retrievals, all the transfer, all that, and then kind of going home and doing your meds, but obviously the ultrasound appointments, remind me how that went down.
Yeah. So after my first miscarriage, I left kind of a toxic work environment, and it had been like a road of like two toxic jobs. And again, this is like all part of the story, right? Like nothing was to work out in those different avenues, which is really hard because obviously I've been trying to be a veterinarian since I was 5 years old. So to then go through actually become a veterinarian and have, I don't yeah, just to have like these environments that you were not expecting and the support was not there. So I left those jobs and I started doing relief work in Denver. So I would go and whatever practice kind of needed me would contact the staffing agency that I was working for. And I would go and work 3 days in a row. And then I would come back home. And obviously, if my appointments didn't line up with that, we would make it work. But I had much flexibility in these jobs. And again, this was happening like for me, not to me. Like, so while I was, it was such like a negative experience of what I had left, it became this incredibly positive thing because I would never have been able to do IVF in the I was in just because the intense management that goes on with IVF. So it really just did happen by the universe for me in all these different. So that was perfect. And then I had incredible flexibility. Like I basically just told the practices when I could be there. And again, they needed me. So it wasn't like they were hard on me or anything. I would say I have an appointment at 8 a.m. and they'd say, sure, great. Sounds good. See you at 9, like whatever it was. So it was like the perfect scenario.
That's amazing.
Absolutely.
I'm really glad you're talking about work because that was one of the questions on the intake form. I asked people about their job because you said it was a very stressful job. And I think how different your outcome could have been, you know, if you had stayed in that kind of, you said toxic, you know, work environment where that's not supporting you as you're trying to call in a baby.
Yeah, absolutely. So toxic. And like the first 5 years of my career were kind of toxic. And so trying to figure out all those things and manage the fertility, like it was just too much to handle. And while we know that miscarriages are not caused by stress, it certainly doesn't help anything. It doesn't help your marriage. It doesn't help. I mean, all these things kind of coming together and aligning. So now I'm in like pretty much my hope is that this is a career change for me. Yeah. I'm teaching in the field that I obviously being a veterinarian in that field, but it's just something that came about kind of out of nowhere. And again, all these things are happening like all at once.
Yeah,
because of my job in Denver and doing the relief, you know, I made great money and I was able to pay off my student loans. So I had $242,000 worth of debt. And so I paid that off. Like,
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, the first month that Levi was born. So it was just like,
oh my gosh,
this, like, energy and craziness like coming together. And now I'm in a role that makes a lot more sense for me and for my family and is not nearly as lucrative, but is definitely what I want to be doing. So it's when I say it now, like I wasn't planning on even talking about that, but now when I'm like just having these conversations with you, it's truly amazing. All these things that came together and it's just wild.
Well, that's like the magic that can unfold when you step into this kind of open space and trusting in this unfolding and knowing you're going to be okay no matter what. I mean, just taking you back, I'm looking at my notes, like your transfer was end of December.
Yeah.
You were starting a new job the next week, January 5th. And like, let's just throw that. I mean, seriously, like transfer, but you were in a great place, like so confident and just kind of like trusting, like I got this, right? I remember you telling me, it was just like this air about you was like, yeah, I'm good.
It just felt right. And I think like instead of previously, I may have said like, this is too chaotic. Like, this is just too much. I can't be expecting this baby to implant and then like going to work and like all this stuff. And like, it just wasn't like that. It was like, this is the move for my family. I'm about to grow this embryo. Like I'm about to grow this embryo into a baby and make him a part of our life. And this is the job that I need for flexibility for him. And that really did all come together and it came to fruition and all of it happened.
Yeah. Would you say your voice became stronger? You're advocating, like speaking up. I mean, what shifts or changes did you notice as you grew through your fertility path?
Yeah. So I always been a good advocate for myself to medical professionals. Because I definitely felt like something was wrong and had that intuition. But I didn't have the intuition in myself that I was going to be okay, no matter what. I think I just thought, you know, at the end of this journey, like I might not have what I want. And meeting with you, it was more like, no, you'll get whatever you need. You just have to, like, again, it's, we don't want to like avoid the toxic positivity, but I guess I've started to believe that I was going to be a mother no matter what.
Yeah.
With discussions, and no matter how that looked like, I was going to figure that out because that was what my end goal was. So I kind of started to put aside like my genetics, the genetics, whatever it is. I started to focus less on that and focus on being a mom because that's what I wanted.
Yeah, that's so key. I think you were just so open to different paths to parenthood and taking the pressure off yourself. And
yeah,
you and your husband, like, how is he? Eric, is that his name, right?
Yes, yeah, yes. Eric,
through it all, how, as a partner, and like, I know guys, you know, partners, they can't fully understand what you go through when you're the one taking the shots and you're having the hormone sways and the emotions are all over the place. Like, how is he through all of this?
I definitely think it prepared him to be a dad a little bit more because now it's like the breastfeeding and the this and the that, like there's more hormones and, you know, it's just so funny how it like definitely helps prepare you for that. But he is the most wonderful advocate for other people to get help. So like he will talk with people at work, and I guess because of how open I've been, they're open with him. So like a husband may be like, you know, me and my wife are struggling with fertility. Like I've seen that your wife has posted this on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. And, you know, she's kind of advocated for those things. And like, they'll just start to open up to Eric a little bit. And then next thing you know, they're contacting me about like where they can get support, usually the wives, but either way, I don't know these people at all. And he's making those connections kind of on the sidelines. And it's just like a beautiful thing to see because I think, again, men are their own genre of thing and how they manage things, but then also just like in the Midwest too, like there's just this shame and this guilt around not having children easily and not having children young. And while that may never be like said out loud, it definitely, I think the energy is just there. And so for people to feel comfortable enough with us that they can like say like, where did you guys get support, because this is really hard and we don't know who to talk to about it. We need to talk to somebody about
That's great.
It feels so nice. Yeah.
Love that, Eric. We need more male voices out there. Like speaking of houses.
Yes.
Were you guys pretty private as you went about your fertility path?
No.
you were open all along from the beginning?
Yeah, I've always been open. I'm like definitely an open book and I love communicating with people and I love making these connections just like I made with you. So I've always been super open book. And I don't know if he would have been as open about it, but then of course it just kind of comes with the territory of being married to me that you just become that way. So yeah, we were always pretty open about it.
I think when we were talking, one of the things you decided to step away from were like Facebook groups and like kind of the social media, like some of it was triggering too much. And I really appreciate that you knew that in yourself to protect your mental health and well-being to say, no, I'm not going to focus on that. And we just kind of focused one-on-one and you went inward, like you said. So share some of that a little bit, you know, what things that you avoided.
Yeah. So the holidays with children, without children, are very hard and people love to post photos of their children. So like Halloween, for instance, like, of course, everyone's going to post their child in their Halloween outfit. And when you're going through infertility, like that is just a gut punch. And it just feels like, am I going to ever have a Halloween costume to put on a child? And it's just like a really easy place for you to kind of get down this negative path. And then birthdays too, just like all the normal things. And obviously being on the other side of it, like I'm going to do all those things too, because that's how I'm going to celebrate my child. But when you're on the infertility side, like it's just really hard to not go down a rabbit hole of just self-doubt and negative self-talk after experiencing those things. So sometimes it would just help to kind of take a break from that. Then you experience pregnancy after loss and you have to also manage these things, and you experience motherhood after infertility. So like it never really goes away. You just have to figure out what makes the most sense for you. So like For instance, very, very popular product is that Owlet sock. So it tells you oxygen status of your child. I just did not feel comfortable going down that route. Yeah. Given my history, I just wanted to turn inward and yes. rely on my instincts. And I think, again, discussions with people like you helped me say, I can do that, give yeah. myself permission that I don't need every device that's yeah. on the market to help me. Yes. Yeah. So I didn't want something like that to malfunction. And then I'm again, down a spiral of just, I'm not a good mom and blah, blah, blah. My child's not all these things that we really like as women get ourselves kind of into. So either way, I just sometimes had to step away from those things and be okay with that and give myself permission to do that. I
appreciate you sharing just kind of, you know, these challenges, they don't just end. Like we struggle through fertility challenges, and I did not personally experience miscarriage or loss in that way. I had loss of embryos, but you know, it's just, there's different stages throughout this process, right? Like you said, pregnancy after infertility and the fear and that, but it's, you've developed tools and skills to really support you into motherhood. What do you feel like are some of those things that have helped you in your, as a mom now? Like,
So I got a doula during pregnancy because of, like, again, I was meeting with a fertility group. I was meeting with you. I was meeting with all these people that, like, I knew how good it made me feel to get support. Mm-hmm. And I needed something else like that. So it didn't have to be fertility specific, but I wanted someone, even in our small kind of rural area, I wanted to see if there was anyone out there that wanted to support women going through birth, because this is a life-changing thing for sure. And I found an amazing resource and absolutely like a wonderful friend now, and just a connection in motherhood. And it proved to really be needed. I ended up going through preeclampsia. So I delivered after being induced at 37 mm-hmm. weeks. And it was a lot, right? But like, you hear all about like birth trauma and all these things. And I wanted to do everything to kind of mitigate those things as much as possible. So I found all these support and these resources through the different stages of motherhood. And now it is someone that I can call. She has had 7 children, I believe. So I have an ultimate resource on, like, you know, this isn't going well, what would you recommend? This isn't going well, you know, and just that attitude of being so open-minded, I think, has helped me create that support system, right? It's like the whole village. I don't live right next to my mother, which makes me sad sometimes, but that's just the way it is. So how do I create that village? And so, you know, lactation consultants, finding all these people that can kind of us, and not being afraid or shameful of our stories, no matter what it kind of involves, just to connect these dots and, you know, get the resources and make that village, even if it's not right there.
So key. I'm so glad you're talking about support and so many different specialists and resources. It makes me think I'm going to update of my list and share more on my website, because I just think there are just so many unique holistic supports, postpartum and, you know, preconception, and from functional medicine practitioners to fertility hypnotherapists. I know you saw an acupuncturist. Were there any other holistic kind of supports that you were doing along your path?
So always the yoga. I'm always into yoga.
Fertility and yoga.
Yeah, I absolutely love yoga. Mm-hmm. And then like the first 6 months of motherhood kind of stepped away from that just because it wasn't like at my fingertips. Yeah. And I pulled my back out and I was like, I need to get back to yoga. So kind of just reminding myself that it wasn't just mental, spiritual. It was definitely physical for me too. Yeah. And obviously all the physical changes that come with motherhood have, you know, makes just some weak areas in the back. Sometimes you don't do anything that's easy on your back. So going back to yoga for sure has just helped me again, kind of go back to that mindset. And that always is like great holistic feeling for me. Being
in person
helps for sure.
That's so good. For anyone listening, kind of, you know, who is struggling and What kind of guidance would you give someone listening who maybe has experienced multiple, you know, a lot of loss, in the waiting, taking yourself back to that place? Can you think of what kind of, what would you say to someone?
Yeah. So I think no matter what this world opens you up to, there's limitless possibilities. If you truly would like to be a parent, I think no matter what, you can find a way to become a parent. And I think definitely going down this path allowed me to see that that was my end goal, kind of regardless of genetics, all of these things. That being said, you know, we talked a little bit about egg donor previously. Like, egg donor is so expensive. And if that's not an option, which we totally understand that that isn't an option for everyone, how are you going to find how to be okay with yourself? I think, again, that turning inward, like, how are you going to be comfortable with who you are if the fertility continues to be an issue? And that's what I wanted to find, because I was just at like such a low place and I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to be that way. I had experienced a lot of things that it made sense that I was in that way, but how do we manage these things now and move forward and be okay with who we are if we don't necessarily get what we originally thought was supposed to be for us? The waiting is so hard. The timeline really, really was hard for me. And I think being on the other side of it now, like, it really doesn't matter when these things happen for you. No matter what, you're going to experience highs and lows after whatever you do, whatever goal it is, whatever you get to, like, challenges don't go away in life. So the timeline, time is a construct. Like, it really doesn't matter. And it's not, you can't put that much pressure on yourself. So those are just some things I would find the resources to make yourself feel good, for sure.
That's so good, Gina. Yeah, letting go of a timeline. That's like my rule number one.
I would never thought that my timeline would have been. And then, like, baby comes, and like, I was planning this September baby and I had an August baby, and that was so hard for me. And again,
why?
It was,
why was that?
I don't know. Like, I just, I never would have thought that, like, my baby was coming 3 weeks early. And like, I was just so alarmed by the whole thing. I don't know why. It was just like so weird. But we didn't have a car seat in the car.
We didn't have
a backpack. Like, it was one of those situations where I had gone in for a regular appointment and I was not to leave. So again, this whole thing that time is just a construct, and you know, it's just, the timeline really doesn't matter, and you can't get obsessed with it.
Oh my gosh. That's good. Good advice. Well, yeah. Expect the unexpected, right? Like, oh my gosh. Well, working with you is such a joy, and seeing where you're at, I love it. This is just incredible. I can't wait to meet little Levi. When are you out in Colorado again? I'd love to come.
I know. I'm not coming right now. It's snowing where you're at, right?
Yeah, we.
But no, bring him and just you know, go to a yoga class out there. Come see you.
Things. I love that.
He truly is such a joy, and I just look at him and I don't think, again, like, I'm so grateful that he is mine and my husband's genetics. This is a wonderful thing, but I don't think I would look any different at him if he. And I just always try to say that, because with our story, it felt very much like the next step was egg donor. And either way, I don't think it would have mattered. He's the perfect combination of whatever created him, all the things.
Oh my gosh. True blessing. Thank you so much for opening up and sharing your story. You're going to help a lot of people.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And thank you for creating this space that a lot of people are just not even aware of and don't even know that they need. And I think about all the things that I did, like, I was just trying to create this blissful space for me, and now about it, I really am in it, and it's just wonderful.
Well, enjoy the bliss. It gets better and better.
Thanks.
All right, love you, Gina.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you found value and some new nuggets to help you moving forward on your fertility path. Just know that there is a lot of support for you, and you do not have to go through this path alone. If you're craving intimate one-on-one support, that's an option for you, as well as intimate group support. I have a monthly moon circle gathering. We gather around the time of the new moon, and that is something you can find out more below in the show notes with the Moon Magic and Manifestation Sisterhood. Bring in guest experts. It's such a sacred, special time to cultivate in community and sisterhood. And if you are more into wanting one-on-one direct support, that's available to you too. And I have different packages available for your needs. So don't hesitate to reach out. You can have a discovery call. I'm here for you, rooting you on.
This is where it begins. Letting the light in, soaking it in. Darling, don't you know that you've got a gift? So look deep within and make a wish. Let it lead how you live, and let it be.